Miller.
Mr. President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with, and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Today, we're honored to have the chaplain, the House Chaplain, Reverend Paul Rogers from Minneapolis.
A word from a psalm. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. Merciful God, we long for many things. We long for the refreshing streams of rest from our weariness. Our minds long for the cool waters of relief from effort and concentration. Our spirits yearn for the resolution to issues facing this Senate and our state. While we are divided over the solutions, we share the longing. And this afternoon we sense that we are getting close enough to hear the flowing stream. So now we pray for the blessings of good judgment, for the final decisions that are made, for relief from the burdens the senators and staff bear, and when the session is done, rest for all who labor here. Through all of this, we pray for your grace and peace for us and among us all. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Very good. Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzel, Bonoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Day, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fischbach, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Larson, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Neville, Olsen, Olsen G, Olsen M, Ortman, Pappas, Pariseau, Pogemiller, Pretner, Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vandeveer, Vickerman, Wergen, and Wieger. A quorum is present.
Quorum is present. First order of business is messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file herewith returned, Senate file 2043. Also, Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the House has acceded the request of the Senate for the appointment of a conference committee consisting of 5 members of the House on the amendments adopted by the House to the following Senate file number 430, a bill for an act relating to retirement. There has been appointed as such committee on the part of the House Representatives Murphy M., Smith, Thiessen, Kahn, and Nelson. Senate file 430 is herewith returned to the Senate, and Mr. President, I have the honor to announce that the House has acceded to the have the honor to announce the House has acceded to the request of the Senate for the appointment of a conference committee consisting of 3 members of the House on the amendments adopted by the House of the following Senate file 1753, a bill for an act relating to airports. There has been appointed as such committee on the part of the House Representatives Dill, Rukavina, and Beard. Senate file 1753 is herewith returned to the Senate, and Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the House refuses to concur in the Senate amendments to House file number 1208, a bill for an act relating to state government, changing provisions for construction codes and licensing provisions. The House respectfully requests a conference committee of 3 be appointed thereon. Representatives Mahoney, Nelson, and Osmond have been appointed as such committee on the part of the House. House File 1208 is herewith transmitted to the Senate with the request that the Senate appoint a like committee. Signed, Albany Mathew, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives.
Senator Scheid.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate accede to the request of the House for a conference committee on House File 1208 and the conference committee of three members be appointed by the subcommittee on conference committees on the part of the Senate to act with a like conference committee on appointed on the part of the House.
On the Scheid motion to to name a conference committee, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
And, Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the House has acceded to the request of the Senate for the return of House File 2245, a bill for an act relating to education, increasing the basic revenue formula allowance, etc. House File 2245 is herewith transmitted to the Senate, signed Albany Methodist, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that House File 2245 be laid on the table.
On the motion, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
And, Mr. President, I have the honor to announce that the House has acceded the request of the Senate for the return of House File 2268 for further consideration. House File 2268, a bill for an act relating to public finance, providing terms and conditions related to the issuance and obligations of the financing of public improvements and services, etc. House File 2268 is herewith transmitted to the Senate, signed Albany Methodist, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that the committee reports printed in the agenda and the report read by the Secretary be adopted.
I think you have to lay this one on the table. Yeah. So, long evenings.
My handler had me one ahead. Mr. President, I move that House File 2268 be laid on the table.
On the motion to lay on the table, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Now we'll go to the reports of committees. There's one to be read at the desk.
Senator Pogemiller from the Committee on Rules Administration, to which was referred House File 413 for comparison with the companion Senate file, reports the following House file was found not identical with the companion Senate file on general orders. House File 413 with Senate File 761. Pursuant to Rule 45, the committee recommends the House file be amended. When so amended, will be identical to Senate File 761. Further recommends the House file begin with second reading, substitute for the Senate file, and the Senate file be indefinitely postponed. The balance of the reports are on your agenda today.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I don't remember the Rules Committee dealing with those issues. I'll have to talk with the desk about that at another time. No, Mr. President, I move that the committee reports printed in the agenda and the report read by the Secretary be adopted.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The next order of business is second reading of House bills. There are two printed on today's agenda, and there's an additional one, House File number 413.
House File 413.
Without objection, second reading of Senate House bills. Next order of business is motions and resolutions. There's one author's motion printed on today's agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. There's one resolution printed on today's agenda. Without objection, the resolution will be sent to the Rules Committee. Without objection, remaining under motions, there's introduction and first reading of Senate bills. They are printed on today's agenda. Without objection, first reading of Senate bills.
Further, you say, do you know who started it? I got off the amateur sports room.
Let somebody else know. Their zoning doesn't allow it.
Is there anybody left to be doing?
Or we could change the grants and give it to the Army to pay down their debt. They've got two sheets there for debt relief. New part of the language. Debating that game and thing Hansen's talking about.
We don't have anything to do here, do we? Pat, you work at the desk.
Find out what we're.
He said he talked about Higgins. Maybe you can make an announcement. Conference reports are in folders under the desk if they don't want to look online.
They're both places, aren't they?
Both places.
Mr. President?
Senator Porcarbiller.
Mr. President, I think we can process a conference committee 1262, and then we'll take a recess. 1262, the Higgins Conference Committee.
Okay. This. Remaining under motions, we'll take up the conference committee reports. I guess we're just going to do one of them. They're at your desk in a folder underneath your, and they're online. So the first conference committee report we'll talk about today will be Senate File 1262. Senator Higgins.
Thank you, Mr. President, and members. You may find this online, Senate File 1262 and the conference committee report. That would probably be the easiest way to find it. Mr. President, I move that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report in Senate File 1262 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by conference committee.
All right, before we recognize the motion, explain that to the Senate what changes are made.
Mr. President and members, this is the lead in...
I listen up.
This is the lead and jewelry bill, and the amendments that we made were the last final agreements between manufacturers and retailers. We clarified in about three places that we are talking about the manufacturer of jewelry that is offered for sale in the state of Minnesota. We say in about three places. We changed the phrasing so that if a retailer verifies from the manufacturer and distributor that the jewelry contains safe levels of lead, they could represent that safely and legally to their customers. I could envision somebody putting up a sign saying, you know, lead safe jewelry here, don't worry about, you know, the problems with your children, because the jewelry is certified to be safe. We also added an amendment to make sure that the intermittent occasional sale of jewelry in circumstances like yard sales and estate sales and that kind of thing were not covered by this. And Mr. President, that would be that.
Okay, Senator Higgins renews her motion to adopt the conference committee report on Senate File 1262. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Secretary will give the bill. Any further discussion? Secretary will give Senate File 1262 its third reading.
Senate File 1262, a bill for an act relating to commerce regulating the manufacture and sale of jewelry products containing lead, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 54 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Members, we're going to take a recess. Our hope is that tonight we will process perhaps as many as three of the omnibus bills, higher ed, economic development, and perhaps state departments. Not certain about that, but we would hope to. In addition, we have some other conference committees that are coming. The Omnibus Pension and Retirement Conference Committee, but it's exactly the same as the Senate passed it, so that should be pretty easy. We may take up, I think we are going to take up good faith one more time. I know people are anxious to do that one more time. Perhaps the health care constitutional amendment. And then other conference committee reports. So if we were able to accomplish all that today, tonight, then we would be left with just miscellaneous conference committee reports and three of the omnibus bills tomorrow. So that would be the hope. There has not been. I'm sure Senator Senjum will tell his caucus this also. We are very close in terms of an overall understanding on the bills. We're not there yet, but we're very close. And so I believe members will know more after these caucuses. So that's where we're trying to get tonight. So, and I wouldn't think that those conference committee or those three bills would take that much discussion. So I don't know that this will be, I don't think this will be too late this evening, but we'll see. Now, on the outside chance that one of the other of the three were available, we might wait around to do that. But we'll just have to see where we're at. So, Senator Senjum, anything you wanted to add?
Senator.
The majority caucus, pardon me, Senator Senjum, the majority caucus will caucus in the retiring room when we recess.
Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, Senate Republicans, hopefully, is 107 available?
Probably.
In room 107, or if not, we'll find a place.
I would guess it's available, but Senator.
Mr. President?
Senator.
Mr. Majority Leader, any idea how long the recess might be within the scope of an hour or two?
Well, I was kind of thinking 6 o'clock till 6. Is that too long?
What time is it now?
I think 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Senator Senjum, and I think the reason is we need, as those amendments are prepared for those two or three bills, I think we need to give members time to process those, think about them. I don't think we've clearly determined how we roll those out. Senator Pappas, have you had a public meeting discussing that memo? Or not that memo, that amendment?
Senator Pappas.
Mr. President, Senator Pogamiller, yeah, we had a two-hour public meeting yesterday, and we talked about where we were at that point in the negotiations with the governor and our choices in terms of what we would have to cut to meet the governor's achieve level, and the conferees gave us advice.
Okay.
So, the chair and I, as to what their preferences were in terms of the cuts.
So, Mr. President, Senator Pappas, so is there anything in the amendment that you did not vet publicly yesterday? Is there a reason to have another meeting of your group publicly, or do you think not?
Senator Pappas.
Mr. President, actually, Senator Pogamiller, probably not. Because with the additional $3 million we were required to put into ACHIEVE, I mean, that was part of the discussion because the governor had initially asked for $15 million. And we also had a long discussion about the importance of supporting college access programs for students, and that's part of the amendment, too.
Mr. President, if I could ask Senator Tomassoni to yield.
Senator Tomassoni.
Senator Tomassoni, in terms of the amendment, is your amendment prepared or not?
Senator Mr. President, Senator Pogamiller, my amendment will be ready, I think, before 6 o'clock. The actual changing of the appropriation amendment is ready. There's some language amendment that would conform with Senator Scheid's bill that we passed yesterday that needs to be added. That'll be ready by about 6.
And Senator Tomassoni, you had a public meeting yesterday also. Were the contents of that amendment pretty much vetted in public yesterday, or do you think it would be necessary to have another public gathering of your group?
Senator Tomassoni.
We did not publicly say what the amendment is. We discussed what the governor wanted us to do and what the agreement was and that the numbers had been agreed to, and then in privately we tried to figure out how to make the cuts so that we could but I will tell you that because of the way we made the cuts, there are very few minor changes to the spreadsheet.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogamiller.
Senator Senjum, and I just talked to Senator Bedsold. His story is pretty much the same, although they're not quite as far along. I'm going to maybe call the speaker and suggest that perhaps we have those two bills for sure, and maybe even Senator Bedsold's bill, have a public meeting with the amendment, actually, and just chat about it. And then that would be informally, because we'll make the amendment on the floor. And that may be an extra step that would be okay. So let me talk to the speaker. If not, if her preference is, no, why don't you just take them up on the floor, then we'll do that, and we'll just make sure members have adequate time to review the amendments before we vote. So why don't we recess till 6, and I'll keep in touch with you as to where we're at. So I move that the Senate recess till the call of the chair, which will perhaps be around 6 o'clock. But
okay,
the motion is to the call of the chair.
On the motion to recess to the call of the chair, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The Senate stands in recess.
Madam President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Pogamiller.
Madam President, I have a motion to that I've, Senator Senjum and I have talked about to take the dedicated funding bill, as we know it as Senate File 6, to take up the House version of that, which came over last night. It's 2285. I'm going to move to take it off the table, give it a second reading. After its second reading, I'm going to move that an urgency be declared and that the Senate language be put into the House language and sent back to the House so we can get a conference committee set up. So, Madam President, I'd move that House File 2285 be taken from the table and given a second reading.
On the motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
After we give it a second reading. Opposed, no. The motion prevails. Second reading.
House File number 2285.
Senator Pogamiller.
Madam President, I move that an urgency be second reading. Madam President, I move that an urgency be declared within the meaning of Article 4, Section 19 of the Constitution of Minnesota with respect to House File 2285, and that the rules of the Senate be so far suspended as to give House File 2285 its third reading and place on its final passage.
On the motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Madam President, I want to thank members for the opportunity to do that. This will just allow us to get a conference committee set up. And the intent on this conference committee, I wanted to state publicly, it's slightly unusual, but there have been so many members involved in this that when we do get it to a conference committee, we're going to have 7 conferees. And there'll be 5 that are officially appointed, and then there will be 2 that are ad hoc who will be just as valuable for the conference discussion. So now I'm going to put the Senate language onto the House bill. Madam President, I move the A50 amendment.
The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Pogamiller moves to amend House File 2285 as follows. Delete everything after the enacting clause and delete the title of House File 2285. Insert the language after the enacting clause and the title of Senate File 6, the 6th engrossment.
Senator Pogamiller.
This just simply puts the Senate language onto the House file.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion, please say aye. And this is the A50 amendment. The A50 amendment, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion prevails.
Madam President, I'm looking at the floor. I'm wondering, I think what I will do is, if minority staff will, I think what I'll do, there seems to be not everybody here, so what I think what I'll do is lay this on the table, take up Senator Tomasoni's bill for discussion, and then by the time we're voting on his bill, perhaps people will be here, and then we'll vote on this. So, Madam President, I would move then that House File 2285 be laid on the table.
On the motion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. House File number 2285 has been laid on the table.
Madam President, now I think we will take up the omnibus bill, economic development bill. And so I would move to take the vehicle, House File 122, from the table.
On the motion, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, no. The motion prevails. Senator Tomassoni. House File 122.
Mr. Madam President.
Madam President, maybe I should explain. Now, on these six omnibus bills, members, these are the bills that passed out of the Senate. We have recalled them from the House and reconsidered the vote on them so that they're on the desk. We're going to bring them, we're going to take them off the table. These are the six omnibus, four for sure. And then the author of the bill will make an amendment to start off the discussion, and that amendment will be the amendment that hopefully has the three, has agreement of the House and the Senate and the governor. And when this bill is then sent to the House, they would simply concur. So it's not the same as a conference committee report, but it has the same impact. So now, Madam President, I would yield to Senator Tomassoni.
Senator Tomassoni, House File 122.
Thank you, Madam President. I have the A12 amendment, Madam President.
The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Tomassoni moves to amend House File 122, the third unofficial engrossment as follows, page 5, line 22. This is the A12 amendment.
Senator Tomassoni on the A12 amendment.
Madam President, this amendment is going to put the bill in the shape that the leadership and the governor has agreed to. Very briefly, what happened was on House File 122, the bill was very, very close to everybody agreeing on, and there were a couple of more things that a couple of people needed to have done. So I'll run through the amendment real quickly. On line 1.3, it's technical. It's changing each to the first because an appropriation was supposed to be made for just 1 year, and it was mistakenly made for both years, so that one is just fixing up a mistake. The second one is a reduction in the biobusiness market by $125,000. The on line 1.6 is $400,000 for the first year for the grant to the City of Rogers. The rest, the next lines 1.10 through 1.17 are just fixing up some letter references. Then on line 1.18, it was agreed to move the Minnesota Investment Fund from $4.1 million in the third engrossment of House File number 122 to $5 million. Line 1.19 allows the Thompson West project to get up to $3 million out of the Minnesota Investment Fund. Line 120 is making both years of both bienniums the same numbers for the Centers for Independent Living. And the next two lines, 1.121 and 1.122, are moving money from the General Fund for Youth Build into the Workforce Development Fund so that we could find the necessary money to make the changes. And lines 1.123 move money from the Historical Society into the necessary changes. So we move from $500,000 to $325,000. And what we've done as far as the language goes is we've said that as a result of that first year reduction, we allow the Historical Society to use money from the first year or the second year for projects in either year. And then the final appropriation is restoring the Arts Board's tails to what they were at. And I think it's pretty self-explanatory. And Madam President, I would ask for your support.
Is there a discussion on the A12 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A12 amendment, please say aye. Opposed, no. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Senator Tomassoni.
Madam President, I have the A9 amendment.
Secretary will report the A9 amendment.
Senator Tomassoni now moves to amend House File 122, the third unofficial engrossment as follows. Page 66, line 34. This is the A-9 amendment.
And
Senator
Madam
Tomassoni.
President and members, the A-9 amendment is just putting the code language inside the bill into exactly the same form as Senator Scheid's bill was yesterday. This is all agreed upon language and for the most part does what all the parties agreed to do. So I'd appreciate your support.
Is there further discussion on the A9 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A9 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Senator Tomassoni.
Madam President, that's essentially what we've agreed to. If anybody would like to ask any questions on the bill is virtually the same with the exception of those changes that I made, and so I appreciate your support.
Is there further discussion on House File 122? Seeing none, the Secretary will give House File 122 its third reading.
This is the original House File title. House File 122, a bill for an act relating to commerce, regulating the sales of American flags, etc.
The Secretary will take the roll. Have all members voted who wish to vote? The secretary will close the roll. There being 58 ayes and 4 noes, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator Pogamiller.
Madam President, members, we have a situation here.
We have a situation. Yes, we do.
Senator, the author moved an amendment. He described his amendment. And then he offered one that had something that he didn't describe, that he didn't, he offered the wrong amendment. So we are going to move to reconsider this bill and then move to reconsider the amendment and then put the correct amendment on. So, Madam President, having voted on the prevailing side, I move that the vote whereby House File 122 was passed by the Senate on May 20th, 2007, be now reconsidered.
On the motion, all those in favor, please say aye. All opposed, no. The motion prevails. Senator Pogamiller.
Madam President, having voted on the prevailing side, I move that the vote whereby Tomasoni number A12, amendment to House File number 122, was adopted on May 20th, 2007, be now reconsidered.
On the motion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion prevails. Senator Tomassoni, do you wish to withdraw that amendment?
Madam President, I want to withdraw the A-12 and I want to move the A-10.
Senator Tomassoni withdraws the A-12 amendment. Senator Tomassoni offers the A-10 amendment. Senator Tomassoni?
The A-10 amendment.
The A-10 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Tomassoni now moves to amend House File 122, the third unofficial engrossment as follows. Page 5, line 22. This is the A-10 amendment.
Senator Tomassoni, on the A-10 amendment.
Madam President, the A-10 amendment is the amendment I described.
Is there further discussion on the A-10 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, no. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Is there further discussion on House File 122?
Madam President.
Senator Dill.
Madam President, I would like to ask Senator Tomassoni a question if he would yield.
Senator Tomassoni, do you yield for a question? He does. Senator Dill.
Madam President, Senator Tomassoni, I was looking at the spreadsheet after we passed the bill last time, and I was going to come and ask you about this, but on page 8 or line 375 under Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation, I see there's some money for a synagogue, and also I see on line 379 there's some money for a township for some kind of electrical expense. Could you explain what that's all about?
Senator Tomassoni.
Madam President and Senator Dill, this is money that's not general fund money. It's money that's at the IRRB, and it's just designating some projects to be paid for out of the IRRB. So it's not general fund money.
Well,
Senator Dill.
Madam President, Senator Tomassoni, you didn't answer the question. I didn't ask, what difference does it make whether it's general fund money or not? I asked the question what those two items were all about.
Senator Tomassoni.
Madam President, one is about a synagogue, and the other one is about a township electrical project. Madam President,
Senator Tomassoni. They're
projects that came from the House, and so they're Representative Rucavina's projects, and the synagogue project is a restoration of a synagogue in Virginia, and the other one is, are you talking about the Spencer Township one? Is that what the one you asked me about?
Yes.
That is a rewiring of a township hall, I believe.
Well, Madam President, members, it just seems a little unusual to me to see an appropriation in a state government finance bill for a religious organization, and it seems a little unusual to put $225,000 into a township for rewiring their township hall if that's what it's for. But just making that observation.
Is there further discussion on House File 122? Senator Latz and then Senator Rosen.
Madam President, in response to Senator Dill's inquiry, at least with regard to the synagogue in Virginia, I know a little bit about it, not a whole lot, but there is no longer much of an active Jewish community there. However, the synagogue has been there for, I think, over 50 years. It's basically an historical site, which has fallen into great disrepair. And my understanding is that the effort by the IRRB here is to assist in the renovation of an historic building. In this case, it happens to be a building that has been used for religious purposes, but the main purpose of this renovation is historic in nature.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Tomassoni please yield?
Senator Tomassoni, he yields, yes.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Tomassoni, could you please just, our conversations about a certain article in this bill here that's very troubling and that has to do with the nanotechnology. And members, there was a very good bill about the nanotechnology that required funds, but with a federal matching grant to it. And
I would just like to have an explanation from Senator Tomassoni what happened here with this these funds that were obviously well thought out of, and I'd like to know from him what happened to these funds. It's not in the spreadsheet.
Senator Tomassoni, on Senator Rosen's question.
Madam President, Senator Rosen, as you know, this is the third engrossment that we're working off. We'll be going to the fourth engrossment. We've had to cut the budget four different times since we passed the first bill, and this is one of the things that the conference committee decided to drop out, and I guess other than a couple of people asking us some questions about it, we didn't hear a real lot of advocating for the nanotechnology part, and it wasn't included in the final negotiations that we just finished with. So, and to Senator Dill, also, the synagogue, I found out, is owned by a nonprofit organization also.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. And Senator Tomassoni, I understand the conference committees and how they work. However, I am a little troubled by this bill, and I will be voting in the negative on this bill for two reasons. One is because the nanotechnology did have funds coming with it, and there was matching federal funds for this. And number two, as a personal note, even though this was supposed to be negotiated and I'm supposed to be fine with this language, is the Meatpackers Bill of Rights. I do think that this is something that's onerous and it should not be in this bill. It's duplicative before federal and state laws dealing with the packing workers, and I just think it's poor policy.
Senator Rosen, Roebling.
Thank you, Madam President. I'm wondering if I could have a little explanation from the author about a few of the projects in here. For example, there's an Inver Grove Heights Center. I believe it's probably a community center. They put Veterans Memorial on the title, however. The Thompson and Township Industrial Park and the Walker Community Center. And I'm wondering how they justified funds when the community centers in my area are not usually considered for statewide funding. And I'm wondering what makes these projects special that we are putting them in this bill.
Senator Tomassoni.
Madam President, Senator Roebling, the committee heard about 120 bills, and these bills were presented in front of the committee, and Thompson Township Industrial Park was I think came over from the House and was recommended in the conference committee. The other ones you asked about were considered by the committees either in the House or in the Senate and ended up in the conference committee report, and they were determined to be viable projects.
Is there further discussion? Senator Vandeveer.
Thank you, Madam
Chair.
President. Will Senator Tomassoni yield for a question?
Senator Tomassoni yields. Senator Vandeveer.
Senator Tomassoni, I'm looking at the numbers here. Can you tell me the percent increase over the biennium in your bill?
Senator Tomassoni.
Madam President and Senator Vandeveer, the numbers that are in the bill you can find on page 9, and you can see the old numbers and the new numbers. We are approximately $93 million in a combination of one-time money and ongoing money that is added to the bill.
Madam President, Senator Tomassoni, that's about a 35% increase, something like that. I understand part of it's one-time money, but even so, it looks like it's over 12. Do we know what our percentage increase was for E-12? I think it's probably around 7%.
Madam President, Senator Vanderveer, I realize you didn't ask me a question, but the increase in the bill is actually around 15%. But this is one of those bills where things like the arts and the history center and several of the other areas within this bill were cut drastically in the 2003 budget cutting session, and some of this bill is an attempt to restore much of what was cut back in those days. And for example, the arts board, for example, was restored by about $3 million, but it's still 20% below where it was in 2003.
Senator Vanderveer.
Well, Madam President, Senator Tomassoni, I'm just looking at $284 million as opposed to $375 million.
Is there further discussion on House File 122? Seeing none, the Secretary will give House File 122, Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Tomassoni yield?
He yields. Senator Senjum.
Senator Tomassoni, and correct me if I'm wrong, the carrier of this particular bill has to do with American flags. Is that right? Am I on the right bill here? I think. Okay. If that's the case, Senator Tomassoni, and I think we need to think about this a little bit, at least I do, and that has to do with certainly the American flag, and we all treasure that. We know that many have laid their life on the line for that flag, and we respect that, and we admire it, and we graciously thank them for their services. This particular line, though, suggests that no person may sell or offer for sale in this state an American flag unless the flag was manufactured in the United States of America. And that's all fine, well, and good. We would perhaps hope that, but I think we also know realistically that that's probably not going to be the case in many cases. And my point here tonight in rising is that I see this as an offset. As we move into, for instance, Memorial Day, my dream for my local community was that someday on Memorial Day I might get up on that beautiful day and drive down the street and see a flag on every house in Rochester. You know, that would be kind of nice. I think I'd like that. And I think that as we think about flags, we ought to be aspiring towards that direction as with respect to aspiring towards the direction of where that flag is manufactured. I think it's far more important that people fly flags and we have lots of access to flags than it is where they are manufactured. And so, Senator Tomassoni, I understand where you're coming from and what your feelings are about American made, and I think we all share that. But I also share the feeling that access to flags may be more important, in fact, than where they're manufactured. And I guess maybe I'll just leave it at that. It's not so much a desire just to talk about that back and forth with you, but it's just my feelings about that. I feel very passionately about the flag is all we do, and the fact that the flag, in my mind, ought to be readily available in almost any store in America is, I think, what the desire ought to be, and we ought to be flying that flag. And I just somewhat am concerned about the fact that if we limit the flags and where they're manufactured to a finite location, i.e. the American, United States of America, and certainly there are a lot of places in America that might make these flags, it does bother me to some extent that I'm not sure how many manufacturers of flags there are in this country, but we all know that the flags that we fly currently are manufactured in places far beyond the United States, and it seems to me they work pretty well also. I think the flag is the symbol of the United States of America, and irrespective of where it was manufactured, it means what it means, and it means a lot to us. Thank you, Mr. President.
Is there further discussion on House File 122? Seeing none, the Secretary, or Senator Olson.
Madam President and Senator Tomassoni, back to the point that Senator Rosen was making. I looked at your old amendment. That appears to be the error that was in the amendment, is that it had the nanotechnology program in it. Could you tell me where then the language couldn't stay in? That was directing a program, and you deleted the appropriation. Is that what you're suggesting? Because I couldn't find it when you take the amendment and try to find the bill, all you get is the flag amendment, so you can't see the rest of it to see what you have in fact deleted on the computer.
Senator Tomasoni, do you yield? All right.
I'm going to yield to Senator Betzel.
Senator Betzel.
Madam President and Senator Olson, it can be found on your computer. If you punch in House File 122 and go to there and then look at the status of the bill in the Senate, you can see the status of the bill in the Senate, status of the bill in the House. It says unofficial engrossments when available. You want to click on the link that says unofficial engrossments when available, and then scroll down to the very bottom, the last one that says HF 122, third unofficial engrossment, posted May 17, 2007.
Madam President?
That would be the language.
Madam President?
Senator Olson.
Senator Betzel, that's more than I want to know. I like the convenience of when I get the floor amendment to push on the bill that it engrosses and then to get the correct engrossment there, and that's not what we have today. So that's the extent of my desire to manage technology here on the Senate floor. But okay. Maybe Senator Tomasoni could just answer the question.
Senator Tomasoni yields. Senator Tomasoni.
Madam President and Senator Olson, the nanotechnology language came out because there wasn't an appropriation for the nanotechnology, and that was not agreed to in the global agreement here, and so that's why it's not in the bill.
So Madam
Olson.
Chair and Senator Tomasoni, there isn't a deletion of the appropriation. It just wasn't in there in the underlying bill.
Madam President and
Senator
Olson, the incorrect amendment reinstated the language and the appropriation, and so the correct amendment did not have the nanotechnology in it, and so therefore the nanotechnology was not in the bill. You're correct.
So, Madam President and Senator Tomasoni, which line on the incorrect amendment involved was the appropriation for that?
Senator Tomasoni yields. Senator Tomasoni.
Madam President and Senator Olson, it was on lines 1.30 and 1.31.
Thank you.
Is there further discussion on House File 122? Seeing none, the Secretary will give House File 122 its third reading.
This is the original House File title, House File 122, a bill for an act related to commerce regulating sales of American flags.
Secretary will take the roll. Members, we are revoting on House File 122 after a new amendment was added to the bill. This is final passage.
Is that it? Pat, is that it? Four down.
Secretary will close the roll. There being 53 ayes and 10 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator Pogamiller.
Madam President, members, I'm going to now take the bill we had just dealt with before everybody was here. It's Senate File 6, but that language has been put on to House File 2285. This is the constitutional amendment for 3/8. So it's the Senate bill that we passed. We're just sending it back to the House on the House file. So, Madam President, I'd move that House File 2285 be removed from the table.
On the motion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion prevails. Senator Pogamiller. The Secretary will give House File 2285 its third reading.
House File 2285, a bill for an act relating to constitutional amendments, proposing an amendment to the Minnesota Constitution, Article 11, increasing the sales tax rate by 3/8, 1%, etc.
Madam President.
Senator Pogamiller.
So just to remind members, this is the 3/8 constitutional amendment. I believe it had 52 or 54 votes, so recall how you voted. Thank you, Madam President.
Secretary will take the roll on House File 2285. Secretary will close the roll. There being 50 ayes and 12 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to.
Thank you, Payne Weber.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Under motions, why don't we take up conference committee reports and Senate File 184, Senator Marty.
We have
Mr. President.
Senator.
I move that foregoing Senator recommendations Marty. In conference committee report on Senate File 184 be now adopted and the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee.
Okay. Senator Marty, explain the differences on the conference committee report here, would you, please?
Mr. President, members, this was a bill that dealt with family planning services. The House put on several amendments. The bill that came back from conference committee, the House had taken out one provision about...
All right. Come on. Senator Marty.
Mr. President, the bill came back with several modifications, one of which was the House had taken out a provision on negotiating reimbursement rates. We put it back in as a study about reimbursement rates. We had made what was effectively a technical change in language, one that allowed community clinics to purchase drugs as part of the multi-state purchasing pool. It was how we included them in there that was changed, but it's just technical in the effect of it. And then the House had a provision that a registered nurse could not dispense contraceptives to girls under 12 without parental notification. We don't know of any family planning clinics that were seeing girls that young. Unfortunately, there are some mothers of that age, but the clinics are not seeing any coming in for contraception. If they did, they would be, they said, referred to child protection. But the conference committee changed it so instead of a notification, the RNs at these clinics would not be dispensing contraceptives to girls under 12. And I think that satisfied everybody around. I'll be happy to stand for questions.
Okay, Senator Marty renews his motion that the conference committee report on Senate File 184 be now adopted. Senator Fischbach.
Mr. President, will Senator Marty yield for a question?
Senator Marty will yield.
Mr. President, Senator Marty, could you just explain to me a little bit more, because that was one of my concerns, was the parental notification for 12-year-olds. So now they will not be able to, the clinics will not be able to dispense for under 12 and refer to child services, or how exactly is that going to work?
Senator Marty.
Mr. President, Senator Fischbach, the House language had a thing where you were to notify the parents if you were providing contraceptives in this case. That's probably not a good idea because in many of these cases, it's a case of incest in the first place. The clinic said they weren't seeing girls that young, and they said if they did, they would be referring them to child protection. The conference committee changed the provision from one of notification to one in which the RNs would not be dispensing contraceptives to anyone under 12. They wouldn't be dispensing instead of notifying.
On the Marty motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 184, a bill for an act relating to health authorizing registered nurses to dispense oral contraceptives and family planning clinics, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. Okay, all senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 60 ayes, 1 nay. The bill is passed and it's title agreed to. The next conference committee report will be Senate File 430, Senator Betzold.
Mr. President, I move that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on Senate File 430 be now adopted and the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee.
Okay, Senator Betzel, explain the changes that were made.
Mr. President, there are no changes. This is the pension bill, and it is coming back from the conference committee exactly as the Senate passed it earlier this week by on a vote of 61 to nothing. I should note that the conferees or the members of the Senate members of the Pension Commission, although Senator Worgen had been appointed, she was unavailable this afternoon because of a prior commitment, so she was not available for the conference committee or for the signatures. But as I say, the bill that you have before you is exactly what the Senate passed earlier this week.
Senator Worgen.
Thank you, Mr. President. I had the pleasure of attending my son-in-law's master's graduation, so I apologize to Senator Betzold, but I am perfectly fine for this conference committee report, and I most certainly would have signed it. Thank you.
Senator Betzold renews his motion to adopt the conference committee report on Senate File 430. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File Number 430, a bill for an act relating to retirement, various retirement plans, authorizing an optional annuity election for the surviving spouse, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. Secretary will close the roll. Being 62 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
I'd move a brief recess for the purposes of appointing a conference committee.
Okay, on the motion to recess, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The Senate stands in recess. Senate will be in order. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, is there a privilege report at the desk?
There is a privilege report at the desk.
Senator Pogemiller from the Subcommittee on Conference Committees recommends the following senators be and hereby appointed as a conference committee on House File 1208, Senator Scheid, Sparks, and Michelle. Senator Pogemiller moves the foregoing appointments be approved.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Members, we're going to recess and hopefully free up a bill or two here to take this evening. So let's recess till 9 o'clock. So I call of the chair, but about 9 o'clock.
Senator Betzold.
Mr. President, the Conference Committee on Statewide Health Insurance is going to be meeting in room 118 immediately. And so Senator Coring and Senator Vickerman, I will need you in room 118. Thank you.
Senator Pogemiller renews his motion for a brief recess. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I believe we have a conference committee report, Senator Solon's energy global warming bill.
That is correct. Senate File 145. Senator Pretner Solon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on Senate File number 145 be now adopted, and that the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee.
Senator Pretner Solon, tell the Senate what the changes are that were made.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President and members, Senate File 145, the Energy Policy Omnibus Bill, is the result of hundreds of hours of work by members of the Energy, Utilities, Technology, and Communications Committee, House and Senate conferees, the Department of Commerce, and the Governor's staff, environmental advocates, business advocates, the energy industry, and labor representatives. Everyone worked extremely hard to put this together. It contains provisions related to energy efficiency and conservation, community-based energy development, and global warming. The conference committee report is a great blend of many House and Senate provisions in each of these areas. Contained in this bill are the three final pieces of a four-prong approach that the Senate Energy Policy Committee has been working on to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and ensure Minnesota's economy and workforce benefits from energy legislation. The first component of the four-prong approach that took a major step toward reducing greenhouse gas emissions was when the Senate passed Senator Anderson's renewable energy standard, requiring that 25% of electric energy come from renewable sources by the year 2025. This important piece of legislation was signed into law in February. The second major component in reducing greenhouse gas emissions was the Energy Efficiency and Conservation Bill that Senator Dibble put together that set a 1.5% annual energy savings goal for utility companies. The Senate passed that bill on the floor last month. We adopted the language from that bill in this conference committee report with a few technical changes. We also added the Green Globe designation to the Energy Efficiency Building Design designation, along with the LEED certification. The RES and energy efficiency bills added together have the potential to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in Minnesota by 42% by the year 2025. The third piece to the four-prong approach contained in the conference committee report works to assure community ownership and local benefits with regard to renewable energy development and operation by amending the CBED, Community-Based Energy Development Statute. We changed the definition of CBED to require that 51% of gross revenues from a power purchase agreement go to local owners and other local entities. We also required the Legislative Electric Energy Task Force to better define CBED. We expanded CBED beyond wind to other types of renewable technologies and allow municipal and cooperative utilities to be partial owners of CBED projects. We require utilities to take reasonable steps to purchase CBED projects, and we eliminate the 2.7 cent cap on the amounts that utilities pay owners of CBED projects for power produced by the CBED project. We authorize XL Energy to own renewable projects without going through a competitive bidding process, but give the Public Utilities Commission the authorization to reinstate the bidding requirement if they feel it's needed. We authorize XL to get cost recovery outside of a rate case for investments in renewable energy sources. And we require XL to file a plan for how they will meet the renewable energy standard. Their plan must include how much CBED and non-CBED energy they will purchase to meet the RES. We adopted the Senate position on wind permitting by counties, a study of dispersed generation potential in the state, which is referred to as the sweet spot study. And we took the House language, extending the position of the reliability administrator who worked on the wind integration study at the Public Utilities Commission. We transferred that position from the Public Utilities Commission to the Department of Commerce and require that person to evaluate the transmission authority and assess the potential for and barriers to interconnecting dispersed generation. We also asked the reliability administrator to study the need for baseload power in Minnesota and report back to the legislature with findings. The last portion of the seabed provision relates to wind easements. A wind easement or lease of wind rights is terminated if a wind project on the property to which the easement lease applies has not begun commercial operations within 7 years of the date the easement or lease was created. We also have a study to determine if this is the best policy. This concludes the seabed portion of the Energy Policy Omnibus Bill Conference Committee report. The next section of the bill is the fourth component in our four-prong approach to reducing greenhouse gas emissions. And before I explain the bill, the language in the bill, I want to be clear that I believe it is extremely important to reduce greenhouse gas emissions across all sectors of the economy. Industrial, residential, transportation, agricultural, etc. I believe it is in the state's best interest to fully study and understand where emissions come from, various options for reducing emissions, rate and service reliability impacts, as well as the effects on the economy. This bill sets a statewide greenhouse gas emissions reduction goal of 15% below 2005 levels by 2015, 50% by 2030, and 80% below by 2050 across all sectors that produce emissions. It also gives specific direction to a stakeholder process to return to the legislature next February with extensive information on possible ways to reduce emissions across all sectors of the economy. There is a definition of greenhouse gases, which includes an exemption for carbon dioxide that is sequestered and not released into the atmosphere. The bill requires that the Commissioner of Commerce, in consultation with the commissioners of the Pollution Control Agency, Department of Natural Resources, Housing Finance Agency, Agriculture, Employment and Economic Development, Transportation and Met Council, submit a climate change action plan to the legislature by February 1st of 2008. The stakeholder group facilitated by the Center for Climate Strategies has begun meeting already to address these and other questions. Their report to the legislature will include an estimate of the previous greenhouse gas emissions levels in the state and make projections on what those levels will need to be at future dates, or will be, not need to be, what they will be. Identify and evaluate and integrate a broad range of greenhouse gas reduction options for all emissions across all sectors in the state. Assess the costs, benefits, and feasibility of implementing the various options. Recommend an integrated set of reduction options and strategies for implementing the options that will achieve the greenhouse gas emissions reduction goal. And assess the feasibility of a state, regional, and federal cap and trade systems, including rate impacts for each type of system. The House language that was added to the bill requires a stakeholder group to estimate the impact that the renewable energy standard and efficiency legislation has on greenhouse gas emission levels in the state. Evaluate the notion of a fee on utilities per ton of carbon emissions above a certain level, and include recommendations for improvements in the emissions inventory and recommend whether the state should require greenhouse gas emissions reporting from specific sources, and if so, which sources should be required to report. We also require the Commissioner of Commerce to meet with officials from bordering states in the Midwest region to determine whether other states are interested in establishing a cap and trade system. Identify and prepare an inventory of greenhouse gas reduction resources to supply a regional greenhouse gas cap and trade program. Seek cooperation on a regional inventory of greenhouse gas emission sources. And prepare an inventory of available renewable energy resources within the state or regional areas. The commissioner is required to report the findings of the regional collaborative research to the legislature by the start of the 2008 session. And the final provision of the global warming section of the bill states that if a plan to reduce greenhouse gas emissions is not enacted by the conclusion of the 2009 legislative session that no new power plants can be built until we have a plan for reducing emissions in place. Exemptions are made for projects that have a certificate of need or power purchase agreement in place by 2007. The restrictions would not apply to fossil fuel-based generation if the PUC determines that the power is needed to maintain the reliability of system or to protect customers from rate increases. The legislature is required to review the proposal should the PUC approve a project during the period of restriction. This section is intended to encourage innovation in the area of reduced carbon energy generation. There were a few House provisions unrelated to the four-prong approach to reducing greenhouse gas emissions that are included in this conference committee report. The first is an amendment to some Manitoba Hydro language included in the Environment, Energy, and Natural Resources Finance Bill that states that when the Legislative Electric Energy Task Force requests information from Manitoba Hydro, that it should not be construed as a directive to the Government of Canada or the province of Manitoba. The second provision added from the House language is to have the Legislative Electric Energy Task Force study the economic and environmental costs of nuclear energy versus fossil fuel plants with carbon capture and sequestration technology. And I think the most important thing to explain to you is that, as you probably are all aware, the sticking point came with the moratorium language. And at times we felt that we had reached an impasse. But as a result of people working hard and trusting one another and knowing that we could come up with a solution, it seemed that a solution arose at the midst of our impasse, in which it was recognized that while living with a moratorium would be very difficult at this point, that if we provided all the tools that were necessary and gave all the incentives that we could to develop a plan for sequestering and reducing carbon in the atmosphere at some point in the foreseeable, not too distant future, that it would probably not be necessary to implement a moratorium. But just in case we became lazy and we didn't implement a plan, we are assuring that with the work of the stakeholder group, which will be making recommendations to the legislature and allowing us up to two legislative sessions to come up with a plan that can be enacted to be put in place, it gives us plenty of time to get it going. If a plan is not enacted by August 1st of 2009, then there will be a pause in the development of future large energy producing plants. This is something that everybody seemed to be able to agree with and embrace. Again, I can't tell you how important the stakeholder process was to this provision in bringing people together. And I want so much to thank my staff, who Jenny Myers and John Fuller. And if you ever need a negotiator on your side, John Fuller is the person to be there. He's an extremely skillful person and was very instrumental in helping us along. So I appreciate them very, very much. But I also want to thank my committee members, Senator Dibble, Senator Kubley, Senator Carlson, and Senator Rosen, who worked very, very hard and contributed so essentially to the process. And as I was telling my committee earlier, everybody was so important to the process and brought their own unique skill and areas of knowledge to the process. But it gave me an opportunity really to appreciate the minority point of view. And I recognize that Senator Rosen represented her whole caucus and did it very, very well. And I know that it was a very difficult position to be in. I understand her now when she says it took a leap of faith for her to join in the line of thinking that we had, even though she has many, many of the same aspirations that we do in terms of reduction of greenhouse gas emissions. But I also realized that it was very, very important to build the relationships and the credibility, and I take that seriously, and I respect that that trust that came along with it, and I never want to dishonor that. So, members, this was, I believe, a valiant effort on the part of many people. I am proud to bring this product to you. I think it is a very fine piece of work, and I urge you to adopt it.
Senator Solon renews her motion to adopt the conference committee report on Senate File 145.
Mr. President.
Before that, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll be brief, but I just wanted to take a moment to, of course, urge member support for this conference committee report. I can only echo and amplify what Senator Solon has already said. It's the product of a tremendous amount of hard work on the part of many, many people, the legislators that she's already mentioned, the conference committee members, Senator Rosen, Senator Carlson, Senator Kubley. And of course, our esteemed committee chair of the House also brought their energy and thoughts and perspective to bear upon this. And I think it's a good merger of the ideas, the best ideas contained in each of the bills. And you know, it should be noted that the conservation efficiency piece, of which I'm particularly proud, will double the expected carbon dioxide emissions savings from the renewable energy, or from the electrical energy sector in a short amount of time, and make that much, much less expensive. Many people as well helped to impact and bear upon the process, folks from the advocacy community, the utilities, from the business sector, and everyone brought their best selves to this negotiation. They represented their positions very, very strongly, very forcefully, but in good faith and very honorably, and we ended up with an amazing product, and I think something that we can be very, very proud of when this session adjourns. We, of course, have to recognize the leadership of Senator Ellen Anderson, who has been advocating and championing these issues for many years now, Senator Ann Rest, who brought one of the earliest global warming bills to the legislature. You know, this conversation has been around, the awareness of this issue has been around. It is the challenge of our generation. It is something that we can do and leave a legacy, a positive legacy for those who follow. And failure, of course, is unacceptable. The act is titled the Next Generation Energy Act of 2007. Senator Carlson made some excellent comments. You know, the time frame that's set up by which we need to achieve these standards, many of us will be moving on to the next phase of our careers and our lives. We really are starting down a path, clearing the way to confront a challenge that's overwhelming, the defining challenge of our generation that we need to confront and be successful in to make the way for the next generation. So with that, Mr. President, again, I urge a green vote on this, and again, thank everyone who was involved to date.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I, first of all, want to acknowledge the hard work of the conference committee. I understand, even though I was not a part of the committee, that there was a lot of work, and I commend the members of the conference group that they did put a lot of effort and try to reach some agreement on a issue that clearly was had some contentiousness to it. I do have a question, however, and I'm wondering if the author might be willing to explain one of the things that was agreed, I believe, as part of the conference report.
I think she was ask your question again, would you, Senator Hamm?
I'm just wondering if the author would be willing to respond to a question on one of the elements that was adopted in the conference report.
She will, Senator Hamm.
All right, thank you, Mr. President. On page 2, subdivision 2, the energy policy goals that were, I understand, adopted in the conference committee. It states that the energy policy of the state is that per capita use of fossil fuels and energy must be reduced by 15% by the year 2015, and the rest of that section. Just a couple of questions. First, how were those percentages arrived at? And second, if we don't achieve that goal, what happens? What is the effect of not being able to, for whatever reason, to comply with that goal?
Senator
Mr. President, Senator Han, would you just direct me to where you're reading from?
Mr. President, yes. Page 2, subdivision 2, lines 2.12 through 2.17, the energy policy goals section, my understanding is that was adopted in the conference committee. The question is the percentages that were arrived at and specified in the law, where were they derived? And then secondly, if we fail to meet those goals, what is the effect? What happens? Are there penalties that are incurred by individuals? Are there penalties incurred by providers? What is the net effect if we do not comply with these goals?
Senator Prettner-Solin. Turn your microphone.
Senator Han, if you're looking at the one on the second page, those were the governor's recommendations. There are some further goals that were set up in the global warming section, and those were recommendations that came from both bills and from several different sources. But there is also a recommendation that once the stakeholder group has finished its process and can update those goals, that they will help us to set what seem appropriate for our state.
Senator Han.
Thank you, Mr. President. And thank you, Senator Prettner-Solin. Are there any penalties in the law for failure to meet these goals or the goals that are referred to in the later section of the law?
Mr. President, Senator Han, there are no penalties. They are goals.
Senator Scogin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, I want to thank Senator Prettner-Solin and the committees that she worked with starting in January through this conference committee for their hard work and their understanding of the importance of the environment, of reliability, and of rates. And I just want to tell you that in Greater Minnesota, this was a big deal. And a lot of people did a lot of hard work. And to the constituents in Greater Minnesota and to the people who provide electrical service to those people, they did a nice job. I want to thank her for that and to the committee.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I also want to speak in support of this bill and to thank all the conferees for their excellent work at finding a compromise on some very difficult issues that are absolutely critical to our future as a state. And I believe that this bill will put us once again in a strong leadership position around the country. And in particular, in the section on greenhouse gas emissions and global climate change, as a state, as a legislature, we are not taking a position on any existing proposals for coal plants, neither for nor against. We have established a very strong legislative policy in this bill that we will, by 2009, cap and reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And that is extremely significant. And members, I think it's critical to do it. It's urgent, and this really just sets a framework for all the work that we all have to do together. And it sets up a challenge for the stakeholder process as well as for the legislature in how we will respond to this critical issue, the most critical issue of our time, as far as the environment and our energy policy goes. And so I'm really proud to support this bill, and I think it moves us forward, and I thank the conferees.
Senator Prettner-Solin renews her motion to accept the recommendation of the conference committee report on Senate File 145 and that the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee. Senator Roblin.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I was not on any of the committees that dealt with this issue, and I'm wondering if Senator Prettner-Solin would yield to
a
question.
She will yield, Senator Roblin.
Thank you. I really, this is something I want to support, but I just need a little assurance yet before I vote on the issue. On page 44, it's Article 5, Section 3, it talks about something that Senator Ellen Anderson just mentioned about the long-term increased emissions from power plants being prohibited. And I just want some assurance. You know, right now our gas prices are shooting upward, mainly because we have not had enough refineries go online for many years. At least that's what we're being told. And they say, well, it's been really hard to site refineries. And, you know, part of it's environmental. Some of it's just nobody wants it in their backyard. And so as a result, we can't get the oil refined into gas fast enough. And the prices are going up because the demand is so great. And as I read this and see that it appears that there would be a moratorium on building new power plants that would produce new carbon dioxide emissions, and it would also prohibit us from purchasing power from other places that might be producing new carbon dioxide emissions, I just want some assurance that we're going to have enough affordable power so that our prices do not skyrocket because we don't have enough generating plants, whether it's coal plants or whatever. I just want some assurance that we believe that we will continue to have affordable electricity in Minnesota. And I'm looking for whatever reassurance I can find in the bill.
Senator Pretner Solon.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Roebling, there is language in subdivision 7, Item 3, that relates to that, where there can be a determination by the Public Utilities Commission in cases where there appears to be apparent need who might be precluded because of a moratorium in place. Which we're hoping never occurs, because we hope to put in place a plan that will help us with carbon reduction and mitigation. But it does state that they can appeal to the PUC in cases where there is concern about long-term reliability or placing substantial financial burden on Minnesota ratepayers.
Solon renews her motion to adopt the conference committee report on Senate File 145. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise in proud support of this bill, and I'd like to thank Senator Pretner Solon. She did another amazing job, members, and it's amazing how she works those stakeholders, and they all seem to just kind of follow right behind her, and they gather around the table and they start talking, and it's a novel idea, but it works, and we have very good products because they communicate, and it's something we can be very proud of, because every single member in this chamber is affected by this bill. This is Minnesota's bill. And as Senator Dibble said, there's a lot of people in this room have worked very hard on our environment for this state in the past, and we should all be very proud. I will be honest, as a Republican, I was a little nervous about several portions of this bill. And one of those portions is the dirty word, moratorium. So I have a solution for that. We could call it dilly-dallying. These are from the SARS. We could call it retardation. We could call it deferral, delay, putting off, a stay, suspension, whatever you want. However, members, we aren't going to get to that point, because these stakeholders are going to come up with a solution within the 2 years, and they are going to bring it to us, and we're going to pass it, and it's going to be very good for this state. So once again, I would just like to say this is a very good bill. It addresses the nuclear energy with a study. It has a study for baseload energy. These are topics and concerns that we have to address with the entire picture, and that's what we're doing with this bill, the entire energy picture for this state. So again, I hope you can give us a green vote and send this to the governor, who supports this bill. And again, I want to thank all the conferees. The House was great to work with also. Thank you, Senator Prettner-Solin.
On the motion to adopt the Prettner-Solin Conference Committee report on Senate File 145, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. Third reading.
Senate File 145, a bill for an act relating to energy, providing for community-based energy development, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 59 ayes, 5 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Members.
Senator Pogemiller.
Members, I'd like to try to find out if we can get the higher ed bill tonight. So I'm going to call for a recess for maybe 15 minutes. And if we could process that tonight, that would be good. But I think it makes sense to get a good night's sleep for the members. So Mr. President, I'd move a recess to the call of the chair, and hopefully that will be in about 15 minutes or so. Okay.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, is there any work at the desk?
2 messages from the action.
Messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation report of the Conference Committee on Senate File 430 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee so adopted. Senate File 430, a bill for an act relating to retirement, various retirement plans, authorizing an optional annuity election for the surviving spouse, etc. Senate File 430 is herewith returned to the Senate. Signed, Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House. And, Mr. President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation report of the Conference Committee on Senate File 1377 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee so adopted. Senate File 1377, a bill for an act relating to state government, revising certain laws governing state boards and advisory groups. Senate File 1377 is herewith returned to the Senate. Signed, Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
No action. Senator Pogemiller.
Are there any announcements?
Without objection, Senator Bonham, Stubb, Parasol, Alday, Latz, Dill, Olson, Gies, Salzman, Kubley, Lori Wergen from 4 to 4:45, Senator Hahn from 4 to 7:30, Senator Bach from 7:50 to 8:05, Senator Limmer from 4 to 9:30. Senator Latz.
Mr. President, I rise to a point of personal privilege.
State your point of personal privilege, Senator Latz.
Mr. President, it has come to my attention there was some information that was distributed on the Senate floor in connection with some legislation that was being considered by the Senate that is factually inaccurate and demonstrably so. I was rather disturbed to learn of this because whatever you think about the merits of any particular legislation, we at least ought to be informed accurately while we are considering the merits. This has to do with the so-called good faith legislation. Senator Neville was quite well informed about the facts underlying that discussion, I wonder if Senator Neville would yield to a question.
Senator Neville will yield.
Mr. President, there was a piece distributed by the Insurance Federation of Minnesota, and the top of it is entitled Bad Faith, and it purports to describe the status of the bill. It lists some information about the Neville Amendment that was going to be considered and some other information. One of the things it says is that the MTLA had significantly changed the approach to the issue. I wonder if Senator Neville will be in a position to tell us whether that is in fact true.
Senator Neville.
Well, Mr. President, let me first underscore it wasn't my bill, but the amendment that I offered to the bill was something I drafted. And after I drafted it, there were several additions that the MTLA asked for, but the bill was something I drafted, not them.
Senator Lance.
Mr. President, the piece here also in the paragraph under saying the Neville Amendment is untested and is worse, it says that no other state has this lack of a standard of conduct for awarding attorney's fees. It's my understanding that that is not accurate. I wonder if Senator Neville has any other information about that.
Senator Neville.
Mr. President, if this bill would have been debated, I don't think that that was an accurate statement. And I was prepared to pass out to the members at least statutes from at least three states that were very similar to the amendment that I was offered. So the statement that says that there is no state, I can't even read it without my glasses, that no state that basically has that standard, I don't believe was accurate.
Senator Letts.
Mr. President, there's also a paragraph in this piece that says most states don't allow any attorney's fees at all. And in fact, states affirmatively that 19 states currently pay nothing in bad faith causes of action. I wonder if Senator Neville has information as to whether or not that is an accurate statement.
Now we're debating the merits of a bill
at this point. Mr. President?
Yeah, I
Senator
I
Letts,
think,
was this something that was handed out on the Senate floor?
Mr. President, Senator Pogemiller, yes, it was handed out on the Senate floor, I think, to
Senator Letts, I wonder if you could, your point is that inaccurate information was sent out. I don't think the Senate wants to sit here and verify each piece of that. So I think it would be good if you made your point and then we moved on.
Thank you, Mr. President, Senator Pogemiller, and I will. It is my understanding, and all of this information, I think, in fact, comes from the Insurance Federation's own documents, proving that it is not accurate what they distributed or had distributed on the Senate floor. That in fact, 44 other states do in fact provide remedies for the so-called good faith or bad faith situation. In fact, 49 states have some remedy for that, which is patently contrary to what they distributed on the floor. And I'm not attempting to debate the merits, members and Mr. President. My point is that if there are misperceptions which were distributed, factual inaccuracies distributed on the floor of the Senate, I think we need to have the floor record clarified to bring it out into the open so that when we do have discussions on the merits of these bills, we are doing so with accurate information.
All right. That'll be duly notified. Senator Pogemiller.
Okay, Mr. President. Members, I move that the Senate adjourn till Monday, May 21st, 9 a.m., at which time we will take up the higher ed bill.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.